Rome, House Arrest, and Letters.
Grab your Bible and let's talk.
Welcome to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast, where Bible study and thought-provoking conversation lead to creative teaching. Now, here are your hosts, David and Mary Nelson.
Welcome to another episode of Bible Glitter and Glue. Thanks for joining David and I as we look again at the book of Acts. David, it's been a great journey through the book of Acts. We've been along with the Apostle Paul in a lot of this.
Yes, and it's sad because our journey comes to an end today. We're at the very end of the book of Acts, and it's been a great journey with Paul. We've seen a lot through the reading of the book. We've learned a lot from Paul, and now we come to the end. And what an ending. Paul has just been through a horrific shipwreck, but he's made it to Rome. That's where our conversation begins today, here at the end of the book of Acts in Rome.
Yeah, and he's under arrest still. He's under house arrest. He's living in a house. And we know Paul well enough to know he's not just going to sit around and do nothing. I think it's really great to hear what Paul is doing, even as he is under house arrest in Rome.
That's right. And our text today is Acts chapter 28, verses 16 through 31. Not a very long text. It would be good for us to read it. Here we go in verse 16. Then we arrived in Rome. There, Paul was allowed to live alone, but a soldier stayed with him to guard him. 3 days later, Paul sent for the Jewish leaders there. When they came together, he said, "Brothers, I have done nothing against our people. I have done nothing against the customs of our fathers. But I was arrested in Jerusalem and given to the Romans. The Romans asked me many questions, but they could not find any reason why I should be killed. They wanted to let me go free, but the Jews there did not want that. So I had to ask to come to Rome to have my trial before Caesar. But I have no charge to bring against my own people. That is why I wanted to see you and talk with you. I am bound with this chain because I believe in the hope of Israel." The Jews answered Paul, "We have received no letters from Judea about you. None of our Jewish brothers who have come from there brought news about you or told us anything bad about you. We want to hear your ideas. We know that people everywhere are speaking against this religious group."
Paul and the Jews chose a day for a meeting. On that day, many more of the Jews met with Paul at the place he was staying. Paul spoke to them all day long, explaining the kingdom of God to them. He tried to persuade them to believe these things about Jesus. He used the law of Moses and the writings of the prophets to do this. Some of the Jews believed what Paul said, but others did not. So they argued, and the Jews were ready to leave. But Paul said one more thing to them. "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth by your fathers through Isaiah the prophet. He said, 'Go to this people and say, you will listen and listen, but you will not understand. You will look and look, but you will not learn. For these people have become stubborn. They don't hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might really understand what they see with their eyes and hear with their ears. They might really understand in their minds. If they did this, they would come back to me and be forgiven. I want you Jews to know that God has also sent his salvation to the non-Jewish people. They will listen." After Paul said this, the Jews left. They were arguing very much with each other.
Paul stayed 2 full years in his own rented house. He welcomed all people who came and visited him. He preached about the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was very bold, and no one stopped him.
That is a strong ending, David. He was very bold, and no one stopped him. This is the end, but it's not the end.
It's not the end. And that's been the message of the book of Acts all through it, that even though there were challenges that God's people faced and challenges that Paul faced in his journeys, the word of God kept moving forward. And that's how the book ends. I mentioned earlier that Paul survived this shipwreck at sea, and now he ends up in Rome. And that's where he's always wanted to go. And that's what Jesus actually told him. And he would testify about him in Rome. So we're in Rome.
After Jesus said that to Paul, a lot of things happened. He ended up in prison. He appeared before a number of governors. Time passed after Jesus said that to Paul, but Paul never forgot it. From that moment on, Paul was pointed towards this moment, this time in Rome. He finally was in the place where Jesus had told him to go. That must have felt really great for Paul. Jesus had told Paul to be brave. Well, Paul had been very brave in terrible situations, but here he was.
And Paul wastes no time in taking the initiative. He's there because his fellow Jews have put him there. He takes the initiative and calls together these Jewish leaders to speak to them, to put his case before them. Now, there were Jewish communities all over the Roman Empire. It's estimated that there were actually 40 to 50,000 Jews living in Rome. We do know that through archaeology that somewhere between 10 and 13 synagogue names have been identified. There was a big Jewish population in Rome. And so he meets with these Jewish leaders. He puts before them his case, tells them why he's there, why the Jews back in Jerusalem wanted to kill him, but Rome has no real reason to charge him.
And I think this is a real case for not lumping people together. So the Jews that he had been with back in Jerusalem hated Paul. They wanted to kill him. It got so hot and heavy, and it was a very scary situation. Paul was beaten even. And yet here he is with these Jews. It's across the Mediterranean, and he's with these other Jews. They had not heard everything that had gone on in Jerusalem, and they wanted to hear what he had to say. This was a very different atmosphere.
Yeah, it was. And I think Paul was probably maybe shocked a bit when, after he made his case, they said, "Well, Paul, we haven't received any letters back from Jerusalem, and the brothers who have come from Jerusalem have never brought your case up or you up." And so that may have taken Paul back, but they did say, "We want to hear more about what you have to say," because these people who follow Jesus are spoken against everywhere. So a day was set for them to come back and have this big meeting with Paul.
And the group had grown. They brought more with them. I think like any other group, David, you know, you have some that believed and some that did not. They argued amongst each other, but it's not that heated kind of situation like he had found back in Jerusalem.
No, it was much more subdued, wasn't it? So he got this opportunity to preach the gospel to them. He talked about the kingdom of God, what Jesus had come to do, how that Jesus is the Messiah, all these things that Moses and the prophets had talked about. And as you mentioned, some were convinced, but probably most were not.
But Paul could not help himself because he knew his mission. The very last thing he said to that group was, "And this message is also for the non-Jews. It's for the Gentiles." And if there were some that didn't agree before that, I'm sure that made it even harder for them to accept. Like, oh, this is not just about the Jews. This is also about the Gentiles.
Mary, it's somewhat sad that Paul here at the end quotes this text from Isaiah, which is an indictment on the Jewish people for not believing and not following God. And as a people, the Jews had not accepted the Messiah, even though there were many Jews that did. As a people, they did not. But Paul says the Gentiles will listen. So we come to the last two verses in the book of Acts. We're told he's there 2 years. Paul welcomed all people, and that would have been friend and maybe foe alike. And he was able to preach about the kingdom of God and about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last thing that is said in the book of Acts, "And no one stopped him, Now, in the Greek, that's one word, and that's the last word in the book of Acts, and no one stopped him. It means without hindrance. And that's how the book of Acts ends, that the gospel continued to be preached. So even though the messenger may be chained, the message about Jesus is not.
When you read this, David, don't you just kind of secretly wish you knew what happened to Paul after this?
Yeah, isn't that the burning question? It ends with Paul in house arrest, and that's it. And we want to know, well, what's the outcome of his trial? Did he actually appear before Caesar? Was he executed at this point, or was he released? Actually, the Bible never does tell us, and that's frustrating. We want to know.
But there are different opinions about that, right? I have read a little bit about this, David. I think scholars would even argue one way or another what they think might have happened to Paul after this.
Yeah, there is a debate and a conversation going on among Bible teachers and Bible scholars. Some believe that Paul was executed after the 2 years here. Others believe that he was released and he traveled to other places, but at some point later he was rearrested, and then he was finally put to death in Rome somewhere around 66 or 67 AD. So even the Bible is silent on this, and so there's only circumstantial evidence. For me personally, I think the most likely outcome was that Paul was actually released at this point. Here are my reasons. First of all, when we read through the book of Acts, all through when Paul confronted Rome or when Rome got involved in Paul's affairs, Rome was always protecting Paul everywhere he went. So that's important to note. And even one of the Roman governors in Corinth, Gallio, even pronounced an official sentence of innocence on him. And that would carry a lot of weight and a precedent in Roman law. Another reason is that he was a Roman citizen. And Roman citizens generally would get the benefit of the doubt. And his accusers had not arrived, at least at this point. We don't know if they ever arrived. They had opportunity to. And also at this stage in history, Rome had not recognized that followers of Jesus were a distinct group separate from the Jews. So they would all just understand these followers of Jesus as being just a sect of the Jews. And so this discussion that Paul had with the Jewish leaders was an in-house kind of discussion. These are some of my thoughts about why I believe Paul was released at this point. But like I said, we don't really know for sure.
Well, whatever happened to Paul, we know that the story does not end here. And David, usually I outline a scripture and I break down the scripture that we've assigned. But in this case, everything we've just read, I think, could be said in one point. Paul under a house arrest in Rome. That would be my first point. And then that scripture ends. But funnily enough, I have a second point.
You have a second point?
I do. Okay. The second point is Paul's letters. Because whatever Paul did after this, whether it was in a short amount of time or a longer amount of time, we know that Paul wrote letters. He did not stop teaching people whatever circumstance was. And so even though he couldn't go around preaching, he still wrote letters. He used other means to share the good news about Jesus. He wrote sometimes letters back to the churches he'd already established, helping them to grow in their faith, sometimes solving problems that had come up. But Paul was busy. It wasn't always just talking. He also wrote letters.
Yeah, there are 13 letters attributed to Paul in the New Testament. That's quite a few. That's most of the letters in our New Testament. And writing was one way that Paul used that he could continue to instruct and encourage.
I wrote down a few notes, David, just looking through some of those letters that Paul wrote. And he actually mentions prison in some of those letters. So we do know some were written from prison. I don't have these in a particular order, but I just jotted down a few. In Philippians, he mentions all the palace guards and everyone else knows, talking about him being in prison. He writes to Timothy later on. He talks about being bound with chains like a criminal. In Ephesians, he says, I am in prison because I belong to the Lord. In Colossians, he writes, remember me in prison. And then a really poignant one in Philemon, I, Paul, am an old man now and a prisoner for Christ Jesus. So these smaller references to prison do give us that feeling that he's writing these letters from prison. And isn't that amazing? It's a hard situation to be in prison, but in a way it gave Paul the opportunity to write. He might not have been able to do that so easily if he was traveling and on the road, but here he has that opportunity and messengers around that could take these letters off.
Yeah, you know, these letters that you mentioned, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, they're often referred to as the prison letters because, as you mentioned, Paul calls himself a prisoner or makes reference to being in prison. So we don't know exactly where he wrote these letters from, these prison letters. Many scholars believe that Rome is the best place. Some would argue from another place. Ephesus is another good candidate. The ending of Paul is a mystery, so is the origin of some of these letters or where Paul was at when he wrote these letters. In the end, it doesn't really matter. What mattered was that he wrote these letters to these churches, and these letters would function as his replacement. I think it would be the ancient equivalent of a video. Instead of Paul making a video of himself and talking to the video, he would be talking through these letters. His voice would be heard through these letters, and particularly when he dictated these letters and they were written down, he would have someone carry these letters to these churches. And on Sunday, when the church was gathered, the letter would be read, generally by the one who carried the letter, and would also be able to answer questions that people might have about the letter. So this was the voice of Paul through these letters. So these letters were very important.
Well, there's quite a list, and the letters are named after the place they went to. The book of Romans was to the church in Rome, Corinthians to the church in Corinth, Galatians, we're talking about Galatia, Philippians, that's the church in Philippi, Thessalonians, of course, that's Thessaloniki, Ephesians to the church in Ephesus, Colossians to the church in Colossae. So all those are familiar to us by the name of that book, but that comes from places, real places where Paul had been and people he was writing to. And he actually writes three different individuals. He writes Philemon and Timothy and Titus. So sometimes it was individuals that got these letters. When we look at Paul's writings, they make up a large portion of our New Testament.
Yeah, they do. If we take Luke's writings, we've just read and gone through the book of Acts, his writings, the Gospel of Luke and Acts, and then Paul's letters, that's like 3/4 of the New Testament right there just among these two writers. So their writings are very, very important for helping us to understand our faith.
And how amazing, David, when you think about, because Luke was with Paul on that trip all the way across the Mediterranean to get to Rome, and they were in a shipwreck. Paul was bitten by a snake. There's all of these dangerous things that happen. And you think about those two men together. If those two men had not safely made that journey, we wouldn't even have our New Testament. It would be very thin.
Yes, it would be very different for us. And one other thing about Paul's letter writing is that we read in Colossians chapter 4, verse 16, after this letter is read to you, that is this letter he's addressed to the church in Colossae, he says, be sure that it is also read to the church in Laodicea. Now, Laodicea was just a short distance away. So he is saying, you read the letter, but then you pass it on so they can read it as well. And then he says, and you read the letter that I wrote to Laodicea. So here, at least in this instance, Paul expected his letters to circulate among the churches, at least the ones that were in the surrounding area. And by the end of the first century or the beginning of the second century, there were collections of Paul's letters that were pulled together and copied as a collection of. And this was the beginning of our New Testament.
David, I went ahead and wrote in our show notes some of those scriptures that I read about references to Paul being in prison. So those are in the show notes. And like I said, that outline, such as it is, so Paul in prison and then Paul's letters, I've put all of that in the show notes. So those would be good for any of you listeners that might want to look into this more. David, when you're teaching a Bible class and you're talking about Paul's last days or talking about his letters, what kind of things would you do in your class to help make all of this real and meaningful?
Well, if we're talking about this last part of the book of Acts in chapter 28, here are some questions that I think would be good in discussing this section of scripture. What is Paul hoping to accomplish by meeting with the Jewish leaders right after he gets to Rome? What's his purpose in this? And then verse 30 and 31, last two verses in the book of Acts are important two verses in the book of Acts. What does the ending of the book of Acts mean to you? And if you were to write the next chapter in the book of Acts, carrying on the thought of the message being without hindrance, what would you write? Those are some questions that focus on this last section in the book of Acts. But we're talking about the letters of Paul in a general way. So imagine that you are Paul and that you are familiar with the congregation you're a part of. And so you're going to write a letter to your congregation as Paul. Write a brief letter to your congregation and say what you believe Paul would want to say to your congregation. And then be prepared to read your brief letter to the class and discuss it. So, Mary, those are a few ideas that I think would be helpful to use in an adult class. So, Mary, in a children's class, what can you say about this last part of the book of Acts that will help them to understand it and to apply it? And then how can you help them to better understand and appreciate the letters of Paul?
Well, I would start with making sure they understood about Paul's last days in prison, that he was in prison, that he never stopped telling about Jesus. I want them to know that. And it's almost a review because in my mind, I will have been talking about Paul over time. But this idea of Paul using many means to tell about Jesus, he preached, he taught, and now he's writing letters. I would like children to think about that. And how they can tell people about Jesus. What are some ways they might tell people about Jesus? Speaking, and they can think about preachers might preach. But here we go. We can write things. So in Bible class, we could write a card or a letter to tell people about Jesus. So I think that would be great. But it doesn't have to stop there. All kinds of writing, of course, you know, bookmarks, artwork, different ways to tell about Jesus. But when I think about today's context and the things that children are talking about, I think they'll think broader than just a letter or a written word. They're going to be thinking about videos and podcasts and online courses and websites, all of these things. And I'm sure Paul would have used any means necessary to share the gospel if he was living now. That's the kind of thing he would probably do. I can see him doing that. So I want children to just explore. You know, older children could actually create a video to tell people about Jesus, or they might plan a podcast or something like that. And how would they share? Or if you were a YouTuber that was trying to tell people about Jesus, what would be the titles of some of your videos? I think kids would love thinking about that. And it's an application. And it helps them understand that just as Acts ended and the gospel was not hindered, just as that ended, but Paul continued through letters and continues today through those letters, we need to be thinking, how can we say this message? And the children I teach, how can they take this message long after you and I are gone? These children will still be here. And how are they going to continue with this message? So I get quite excited thinking about that. I might should start, though. I got excited about that, but I probably would want to actually open my Bible and look at the table of contents. I want the children to see the testaments. I want them to see the New Testament. And we can point out some of the letters that Paul wrote. The children might be surprised by that. And in preparing for this class, I'd look up a few of Paul's greetings or the way he signs off the letter, because he uses his names. So the kids can hear that and know that Paul wrote these letters. That might be a surprise to some of them. It might be a surprise to know that the names of these books relate to places, and probably places we've talked about before. So it's all just bringing that to life for the kids. David, I never thought about when I was a child about doing a podcast. There was not such a thing. There was no internet. This whole idea was just beyond any of my even dreams. And yet the children I teach and the adults that you teach, they're using all sorts of communication methods. And so I think as teachers, it's really good to try to capture that, to try to point to Jesus, using these as tools to tell about Jesus. I really want to understand my students and to talk about things that they're interested in.
You know, Mary, there are a lot of things that can distract us from the message. In church, when the preacher's preaching or there's a class going on, we have our phones and tablets there. They can be a distraction, and we can be negative about that. But actually, we should be thinking about ways to utilize these things to help people understand the Scripture, because these are tools that can be used in a good way and not just to be a distraction. So we should be creative and discovering some ways of using these modern day tools, this modern technology, to teach and to preach and to send the message out so that it remains unhindered.
That's right, David. And I want to keep that in mind as teachers. And you who are listening, may you be blessed as you speak into the lives of children and adults.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast. Subscribe now to listen to new weekly episodes and visit missionbibleclass.org for more free resources to help you share God's Word with children.